Blog Talk Radio.
Internet world. Welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and I want to say thank you once again for taking time out of your busy life, out of your busy schedule, to join me on the broadcast. Today is Thursday, October 1st, 2020. Well, we are already in the month of October. Fall is all around us here in Florissant. The temperatures have been going kind of up and down like a seesaw, a roller coaster. One day it's summer-like, the other day it's kind of spring-like, but today it's fall-like in Florissant. So glad that you could join me this morning on The Cross in the Desert. There is, without a doubt, so much pain and so much suffering in the world, so much injustice. All one has to do is just look at our divided culture. Look at the rioting. Look at the violence. Look at the hurt and the anger and the pain. Today I want to tell you the sad, well, very sad story of a man, a father in Iran, who had been under so much pressure and anguish. It's the story of the father of a jailed protester who committed suicide because of his son's death sentence being on death row in Iran. The father of a jailed political protester who had been sentenced to death for his participation in Iran's November 2019 protests committed suicide earlier this week and passed away. Mohammed Moradi, the 60-year-old father of jailed protester Emir Hussan Moradi, died this morning in his home. The report said that he hanged himself in his basement. Shortly after his death, security forces came to this man's home along with a number of people with cameras, and they stayed for a few hours. According to Mehdi Mohammadian, who's a reformist journalist, they came to the house to extract forced confessions from the Moradi family. Think of it just for a second. They had just lost their father. And here comes security forces. Amir Hussein's mother said that Mohammed Moradi was under severe pressure due to his son's death sentence, and that until his death, that is, his father's death, he constantly talked about his son and was extremely concerned about Amir Hussein. Amir Hussein Moradi was detained for his role in the November 2019 protests that erupted all over the country after the regime tripled the price of gasoline overnight. That's almost been a year ago, by the way. Amir Hussein and two other protesters, Saeed Tamajidi and Mohammed Rajabi, were sentenced to death by the Tehran Revolutionary Court. Reports indicated that Amir Hussein Moradi was brutally beaten by security forces during interrogation after his arrest in November of 2019. According to a source close to his family, the 26-year-old political prisoner said he was subjected to electric shocks during interrogations and told that if he did not cooperate, his stay in solitary would be prolonged. He also said that an agent stood on his chest, damaging his rib cage. After the judiciary confirmed the death sentences of the three young men in June, Iranians took to social media channels with the Farsi hashtag #DoNotExecute, tweeting the hashtag more than 10 million times. U.S. President Donald Trump also used the hashtag in a tweet to support the death row protesters. Due to international protests, the lawyers of the three men announced that the Supreme Court had agreed to review the death sentences. Despite this, Emtdad said that the Omirati family was under mental pressure during this time and that the family was kept in a state of limbo about the death sentence. An informed source told Human Rights in Iran website that the intelligence agency had summoned Amir Hussein Moradi's mother and brother after Mohammed's death, his suicide, threatening them, "You better keep silent." They were told they would be arrested if they talk to the press. Since Amir Hussein's arrest and death sentence, his parents have been in poor mental health. His father was under severe mental pressure. And there are currently now at least 9 Iranian protesters languishing in prison who have been sentenced to death. And of course, just here recently, Navid Afkari, the wrestler, was executed. This is not uncommon in Iran. In fact, statistics say that 70% of women in Iran commit suicide. The suicide rate is so high among both men and women because of hopelessness, because of despair. And this man, even though his son had been spared the death sentence because they were revisiting the case after all of the international pressure for Iran to halt the execution, he was still in limbo about the state of his son. You know how the news is in Iran. It's very, very fake news. Let's put it to you that way. It's written and broadcasted in a way to distort the true facts. So this man really didn't know what was going on with his son. He was under tremendous mental stress. He didn't know if they would turn around the next day and hang him. He probably really didn't understand that the execution had been postponed. Again, because the news is so distorted in Iran. He had been despaired and hopeless. This is his son that is on death row for simply peacefully protesting the government months earlier. The hopelessness and despair of injustice is riding a high crested wave these days. And I want to talk to us about this injustice and pain and suffering that touches all of us. And is there hope for us in the future? Do we have hope and relief from this incredible stress, pain, and injustice? Reading throughout the Bible, in Revelation chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, is an interesting lament, the cry of the human heart, of believers, of Christians, under great pressure and persecution. Revelation chapter 6, verse 9, when the Lamb broke the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of all who had been martyred for the word of God and for being faithful in their testimony. They shouted to the Lord and said, O sovereign Lord, holy and true, how long before you judge the people who belong to this world and avenge our blood for what they have done to us? Then a white robe given to each of them, and they were told to rest a little longer until the full number of their brothers and sisters, the fellow servants of Jesus who were to be martyred, had joined them. How long, O Lord? How long is the cry of the human heart? The evil and the suffering is so intense, and the pressure and the persecution is suffocating us, Lord. How much longer must we bear this? Is the cry of the human heart. But the good news in all of our suffering, in all of our tribulation, and in all of the injustice and persecution, is that we do have a fixed hope. We do have a solid foundation for the future. To those who have trusted in Christ, who have come to Him for hope and freedom, the Bible has a wonderful promise. And I want us to learn about that promise this morning. In the book of Revelation, chapter 21, this is a promise that is absolutely true, and that one day all of us will realize the absolute fulfillment of that promise to those of us who have trusted in Jesus. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared, and the sea was also gone. John has this incredible vision he's been writing. Jesus has commissioned him to be the secretary for the seven churches in Asia, to comfort them in tribulation. He has been giving him an intense vision of the future, of what is about to happen. And in chapter 21, which follows chapter 20, after the thousand-year reign of Christ on the earth, and after the ungodly have been punished, chapter 21, reveals heaven, reveals a new heaven and a new earth for believers. And John says, I saw this new heaven and new earth, the old, sinful, corrupt earth, and the old, sinful, and corrupt universe was gone. The sea was gone. And then John says in verse 2, and I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven like a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. This is the wedding. This is the wedding that all believers are looking forward to. John goes on in verse 3. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. This is the hope that we have, ruling and reigning with God for eternity, in that God has now, in a very unique way, joined himself with us, and we are joined with him. This is a time in history when God's presence is with us forever in a very unique way. Verse 4 tells the story about all injustice and all suffering and persecution. When heaven becomes our home, and God joins himself to us in this unique way, he will wipe every tear from their eyes and our eyes. And there will be no more death, our sorrow, our crying, our pain. All these things are gone forever. Can you imagine this? The hurt, the pain, the suffering for centuries that the church has suffered. This great suffering has been terminated. No more pain, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more death. Every tear that we have cried for injustice, every tear that we've cried in pain, every tear that we have cried in agony and persecution, God himself will wipe away those tears from her eyes. And at that time, death, sorrow, crying, or pain be no more. You say, that's just fantastic. That sounds almost too good to be true. Is this just some kind of pep talk to get us through the suffering, to help us to hold on? Is this really true, Randy? Verse 5 confirms how true it is. And the one sitting on the throne said, look, I am making everything new. And then he said to me, write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true. The sin of Adam and Eve that perpetuated the human race and brought death and suffering and was conquered by Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection is now being fully realized. The sorrow, the suffering, the stigma, the persecution, the injustice from our sin has been eradicated. God says, look, I am making everything new. This is a promise realized. The universe, the earth has been transformed. And he said, just in case, John, just in case, believer, that you doubt this, can God lie? The scripture says God is absolutely perfect and just and holy. He can never lie. His promises have all come true. He never tells a fib. And the Bible says, he said, write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy. It's true. But wait a minute. Okay, it's trustworthy, it's true. But how long? There is still suffering and pain in our culture. There is still death and injustice. And God knows that. God says that he wills that none perish, but all come to repentance. Until the day comes when the last person comes to faith in Christ, we live in this kingdom before and in between, before the new heavens and earth. We live in this time when God is accomplishing his purpose, and he tells us to rest, to be patient, that we will one day have the tears of injustice wiped away from our eyes, because God keeps his promise. There will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. It's difficult. It's hard to go through this, but it's worth it all when we know that God keeps his promise, that he's bringing a new heavens and a new earth. Revelation chapter 22 says something beautiful. Then the angel showed me a river with the water of life, clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. It flowed down the center of the main street. John is describing heaven, the New Jerusalem. On each side of the river grew a tree of life bearing 12 crops of fruit, with a fresh crop each month. The leaves were used for medicine to heal the nations. No longer will there be a curse upon everything, for the throne of God and of the Lamb will be there, and his servants will worship him. And they will see his face, and his name will be written on their foreheads. And there will be no night there, no need for lamps or the sun, for the Lord God will shine on them, and they will reign forever and ever. Then the angel said to me, everything you have heard and seen is trustworthy and true. The curse will be lifted. We will see Jesus face to face. We can realize this promise if we know Christ as our Lord and Savior, if we have come to him and surrendered our lives to him. That is the promise that we have. And right now I want us to hear a very special song that celebrates this new heaven and new earth. It's Jeremy Camp, and There Will Be a Day. Let's listen on The Cross in the Desert.
Mm-hmm. I try to hold on to this world with everything I have, but I feel the weight of what it brings and the hurt that tries to grab. The many trials that seem to never end, His word declares this truth, that we will enter in this rest with wonders anew. But I hold on to this hope in the promise that He brings. There will be a place with no more suffering. There will be a day with no more tears, no more pain, and no more fears. There will be a day when the burdens of this place will be no more. We'll see Jesus face to face. But until that day, we'll hold on to You always. I know the journey seems so long. You feel you're walking on your own, but there has never been a step You've walked down all alone. Troubled soul, don't lose your heart, 'cause joy and peace He brings, and the beauty that's in store outweighs the hurt of life's sting. But I hold on to this hope and the promise that He brings, that there will be a place with no more suffering. There will be a day.
Incredible worship music from Jeremy Camp, There Will Be a Day on the Cross in the Desert. A perfect illustration of everything I've been sharing with you this morning from the book of Revelation. There will be a day. This is forward looking. This is hope. This is where we can place our faith and confidence in that God's promise will be realized. It's this time before that day that we struggle. It's this time before that day that we agonize in prayer, that we cry out, "How long, O Lord?" There is suffering and there is pain, but one day it will be swallowed up in the victory realized, in the promise accomplished, in the last thing that will have to happen before the new heavens and the new earth become a reality. That reality can be yours only if you've come to faith in Christ. I'm thinking of my good friend this morning, Layla, a refugee in Turkey who just 3 weeks ago surrendered her heart to Jesus and is growing in the faith. She has that hope and she has that promise that one day she will find her peace and her hope realized in Christ, with no more tears, no more crying, no more suffering, no more pain, no more death. Today, if like Layla, you have been searching and crying out for justice for the injustice in this world, for hope in the midst of hopelessness, maybe you're like Mohammed Moradi. You're at the point where you're going to take your life because you cannot handle the hopelessness and despair. Don't go that direction. Instead, cry out to Jesus. He will hear your prayer. Cry out to him for truth and hope and forgiveness, and he will give you truth. He will give you hope, and he will certainly give you forgiveness. He will wipe all of the guilt and the shame away. He will forgive you and give you peace in your heart. This is the hope that my Iranian friends are realizing. This is the hope that millions of Iranians are experiencing right now as they gather together secretly in the house church. They have found their hope, their peace, and their freedom in Christ. And one day we will see Jesus face to face in a place where we no longer need the sun to shine or a lamp at night, because the Lamb, Jesus, will be our light, will be our glorious light, when we will see him face to face. And it will be worth every tear that we cried, every hurt and pain that we felt. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. And so my prayer for you today is to come to him. You're not coming to a religion. You're coming to a vital relationship with the very God of the universe. And he's promised to do what he says in his word. He's promised to wipe away your tears, to take away your sorrow. He has promised to meet you exactly where you are and forgive your sin and give you a new hope and a new beginning and a new life in him. And that's the hope that we have. That's the promise we hold on to until that day. Please continue to join me in praying for the Moradi family, for Amir, who's in prison. Please pray for their freedom. Please pray that they find their hope in Christ. I want to say God bless you and thank you for joining me this morning on the Cross in the Desert. Have a great weekend, and I will see you again on Monday.